Verse 11. What is good ground? Luke chapter 8, verse 11. Didn't mark them today, so I'm going to flick through my pages here. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 through 15. Good ground, as defined by Jesus in this parable. Do not be afraid to analyze the motives of your heart. What does that mean? Why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? Why do we get angry? Or why do we do certain things that we do? What's the motive behind what you do? Why did people yesterday show up to go in the hot sun, about 100 degrees, with no shade, and go to the outreach and make a few kids smile and families have backpacks and shoes? Why? What's the motive of your heart? And then the opposite is true. Why do we do things that don't line up with God's word? What's the motive of our heart? So that's what we're going to dig into today. I want you, as the songs we're singing today, knock down those walls, be vulnerable, and look down deep in your heart as you hear God's word where you are. I've always told people, don't ever read God's word thinking about other people. Have you ever done that? Because I have. I'm reading God's word and, yeah, so-and-so needs to straighten up and do it like that. Yeah, have you ever done that? Well, I've learned over time, it's not a healthy way to read God's scriptures. This word reveals things to our hearts. And it's good to know what's right and wrong. And it's good to observe people who are living a certain way and not follow them. That's all okay. But when we read God's word, when we get into church, don't throw what you're hearing off to your wife or your spouse or your friend or your relative. Receive it unto yourself and analyze your own heart. That, with that mindset and that motive, God can do amazing things. Because bottom line to that concept is, it takes humility to do that. It takes humility to say, I'm going to look at me. And I want to challenge you this morning. Look at yourself. Look at yourself, because good ground. Jesus said it like this in his parable. He gave an example of seed. And let me just quickly review that from last week. Jesus said in the parable, your heart is either wayside or like a sidewalk. Imagine a seed falling on a sidewalk. The chances of it growing are zero. And a bird is going to come and get that seed eventually, right? And eat it for food. And the bird in this parable represents the enemy. And the seed in this parable represents the word of God, the truth of God. Amen. And the wayside represents your heart. And if your heart receiving God's word today is going to just kind of push it aside and don't let it go in. The birds is just going to come right when you leave this door today. The word that we heard is going to come and the enemy is going to take it and there's going to be no change. And Jesus describes it that way in this parable. And then he says there's rocky ground heart. A rocky ground heart, if you throw a seed on a rocky ground, it could grow. I see weeds growing from that, the rocks that we put up there, and every once in a while I got to go spray Roundup on it and this keep growing, but they're not rooted very deep. And Jesus describes that rocky ground. And he says that the rock ground is kind of like they hear the word, they receive the word with joy, and these have the word with joy, but they has no root. So as soon as the trial comes, God's not in their life anymore. They're not deep. They're not solid. And Jesus describes that heart. So I'm asking you this morning as I go through them, because I'm going to ask the question, which heart are you? Which heart are we? And maybe we may be one of these hearts, but maybe you don't want to be that heart. Maybe you want to be good ground. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, if you open up your heart, will reveal to us as a church, as individuals, okay, I want to be this kind of heart. Holy Spirit, change me. And maybe the motive needs to change in our heart. So Jesus made it clear, the word of God falls on the sidewalk, it gets picked up by the enemy, falls on rocky ground, it grows, and there's excitement, but there's no root. And as soon as trials come and hard times come, they fall away. And he also describes a thorny heart. In verse 14, and they that fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit to perfection. So this kind of heart is a heart that grows. Now when you throw a seed in a weed area, a thorny area, it can grow. It can grow pretty strong. It can hold pretty good. But there's one interesting thing about that parable that says, it doesn't say they do not produce fruit. It says they don't produce fruit to perfection. It's almost like sour fruit. Like the phony stuff. Like I gave you that example of my neighbor with that orange tree that had these beautiful oranges, and I went and I grabbed one and they said, Don't take those. I said, but they look so good, and I tasted it and it was the most sour orange it was awful because they didn't graft it right or whatever they do to make them sweet. But that's how, that is what Jesus is talking about here. Thorny ground. And a lot of people, in my opinion, in the church fall into this thorny ground heart, where they're listening to God's word. They love it. But they're allowing themselves to grow with the cares and riches of this world. And it's not perfect fruit. It's not fruit to perfection. It's kind of sour. And I want to challenge you this morning, not to be that either. Because it can look pretty. That fruit, to me, looked good. It was orange. It was nice. But God's not interested in what looks pretty on the outside. God is interested on what is right in the inside of your heart. Amen? Amen? And Jesus is digging deep in this parable. And he says, here's the last one. And there's also a good ground heart. And Jesus says this about the good ground, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart. Here's motive. Your motive, honest, be honest with yourself. And a good heart, having heard the word, which is the seed, they keep it and they bring forth fruit with patience. Well, obviously Jesus wants everybody to be good ground producing fruit in this parable. And that's the challenge this morning. Good ground. Good ground. Combine a heart with a good ground heart with the Holy Spirit and the power of God and the mission of bringing hope to the community. Combine all of those things and you will change lives. Not by might nor by power because you're good looking, but by the Spirit of God. And the power of the resurrection. Isn't that exciting? That's God and that's how he works. Jesus defines what good ground is, or a good heart. He said those are people that hear God's word and keep it. Well, many of you may be thinking, well, I don't keep everything I have. Okay. Nobody's perfect. But when you have a heart, a motive to want to be perfected, that's all God really needs. Amen. And along the journey, he'll start making you more and more perfect according to his character as you go. So don't ever let the enemy tell you because you do this, then you must not be able to grow in the Lord. It's not about what we're doing, actually. It's about what we're doing to get out. What's your motive? What's your heart? So I don't want no one in this place should think that, well, I can only go so far in God's kingdom or help so much to help others because, I have a past. God in his word tells us, and the prodigal son is a beautiful parable that shows you, God doesn't work that way. He loves you just as you are with your faults and all. And he's just excited that you're in church and he's excited that you're hearing God's word. And I pray that you're opening up your heart to receive it, to be good ground. Be good ground. Receive it and keep it. Then you will bring forth fruit with patience. Patience because you don't change and become holy and perfect overnight. It's a life process. Amen. Amen? That's good. It's a lifelong process, but it's a blessed process. It's a good process. So patience is important, because many of you have, you know, you receive the Lord and you get excited, and then God's moving and you're like, this is awesome. And then you might hit a few roadblocks along the way. Be patient. The Holy Spirit will perfect you if you keep His word and keep praying and keep seeking Him and keep doing whatever it takes to be in His presence. Whether that is to be in church, to be at a men's meeting, or to just doing whatever it takes to make it happen, to be where God is. That's all we need. That's all the kind of heart He's looking for. So it is a process. And be patient. As you continue to grow in the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, He will change you from the inside out. And the natural result of this is you will begin to produce good fruit. Taking that seed, keeping it, and producing fruit. So what exactly is the fruit that good ground hearts produce? What is it that people who are following God, seeking more of God, wanting more of God in their lives, what exactly do they produce? Let me tell you what fruit it's not producing. Some people may think that, okay, I'm praying for somebody. Well, praying for somebody is not fruit, right? Now, praying for somebody may be a product of fruit because you care for them and you want to help them. But the praying action itself is not fruit. The preaching is not fruit. So I can't go to heaven one day and say, Lord, I have so much fruit. I preach so many sermons. No, that's not fruit. So it's good to know what fruit is not. Fruit is not the actions that we're taking. It's preaching or pastors, or that's a calling, not a fruit. Right? Praying for people and evangelizing, or there's ministry of helps, and there's all these other, those are not fruits. Those are callings. Those are gifts of the Spirit. Right? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Because you gave a word of knowledge and you told somebody, God told me this, and it comes true, and you're, you know, that's not fruit. That's a gift of the Spirit. Those are spiritual gifts. Those are different. So none of that is fruit. See, there, because those things are callings and things that God has given you gifts for, and those are different. So what is the fruit? So it's good to know what it's not. It's not that. So I'm producing tons of fruit. I even led somebody to Christ. That's not a fruit. What? Actually, the Bible says, we plant, we water, it is God who gives the increase. In other words, it's God who brings people to salvation. Not the pastor, not you, it's God that does it. So if maybe you led somebody to Christ and I'm here, that's not fruit. Amen? So what is it that Jesus was talking about? What is fruit? So what is fruit? Well, let's go to a good ground heart produces it. So we better find out what we're supposed to be producing. And many of you know where this is, but let's go right to it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It's very clear in God's word what fruit is. Very clear. It says there, very simply, but the fruit, a good ground that gets God's word, keeps it, and nurtures it, and grows with it, and tries, when you're setting things right according to God's word, when you begin to be a person of substance and saying, no matter what, I need to be in God's presence, whether it's, like I said, church, or being faithful in your tithes, or you're trying to set everything right. When you begin to become that heart, you will begin to produce these fruit. According to Jesus in His parable, He says you will produce fruit with patience. And here's the fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's long-suffering. And I'll define what these are later in case you have questions. And gentleness and goodness, faith, or faithfulness is the interpretation. Is a faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. against such things there is no law. I love that statement. You know, there's no country that can write a law to hold these fruits from happening in your life. Amen? These are spiritual things. Spiritual things. So let's go through them. Love. You know, the Bible defines love. Love is patient. Love is kind, etc. Actually, love is a lot of the fruits, right? Love, the Bible even says that you can do amazing things for the kingdom. You can speak in tongues. You can interpret tongues. You can prophesy. If you can do all this stuff, but if you don't have love, you have nothing. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? It's good to keep things in perspective. It's not about the outward actions. Love simply, let me give you a little quick definition here. Love, to care for someone's best spiritual interest. That's how you can love your enemy. The Bible tells us to love our enemy. You see, but you can't love enemy in your own power without the Spirit of God in you. It takes the Spirit of God to empower us to love our enemy. And to love is basically to want what's best for their spiritual well-being. The justice part, the vengeance part, leave that to God, even on your enemy. Amen? That's the gospel. That's what Jesus teaches us. So, just caring for people that for their best interest, that's love. So when you go out to what we did in giving shoes and backpacks or whatever it is that we do as a church to bring hope to the community, if we just show love that we care, we want the best for you. That's love. And when that comes from a real heart, good ground heart, it changes the world. Amen. Jesus changed the world because of love. His love for us. Joy. Joy. So when you start producing fruit and growing in the Lord, you're going to produce joy. It become natural. You'll be joyful even in hard times. Joy is basically this. Joy is just knowing and trusting God and knowing that all is well no matter what. Joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that is just basically knowing that in God all is well. It also is knowing that this world is not our home. Amen? Yes, you can have joy even in loss of a loved one. Because this world is not our home. We know that we're passing by and one day we'll all be together. So joy. The next one, long-suffering. In other words, that one is easily defined, patience with other people. Anybody have patience with other people? Or lack of thereof? Patience with other people. Long-suffering. Suffering. Isn't that a good word for it? Suffering. But people of God, as you grow in the Lord and you're producing fruit, you will produce a way to suffer people. Again, none of these happen by your willpower. All these are happening by the power, the same resurrection power that rose Jesus from the dead, that same Holy Spirit that came and said to Jesus, I'm well pleased. And the Holy Spirit, all of these things are empowered by the Spirit of God through you, and they become who you are. Amen? So patience with others. Gentleness. Being kind-hearted. You know what? You know, you can get in line first, you know. You see an elderly lady or a man who's, you know, and you shouldn't wait in a long line, and you just let them go before. You know, being just gentle and kind-hearted to others. And goodness. The next one was goodness. Do good when possible. Do good when possible. Be there for people. Be trustworthy. Be trustworthy. You know, have you ever just heard somebody say, that's a good person? You know, it's not easily defined, but good person, you know what that means. They're not selfish. You know, they're just doing good. And you can trust them. They say they're going to be there at 9 o'clock. You can trust that they're going to show up at 9 o'clock. Those are important things, amen? Can I put the show up to church at this time here, at this with this fruit? We start at 11 o'clock. Right? Do what you can to get here on time. Be a person that's just good, does the good things, is trustworthy. And the next one, faithfulness. It says faith there, but I looked at the dictionary of what the scripture meant. And faithfulness, it means be dependable, keep your word, be faithful in the little things, right? So that fruit begins to grow. And the next one says gentleness or meekness, I'm sorry. Meekness is being gentle, caring for others. And all of these kind of just come together all as you begin to care for people. And temperance, another fruit that begins to grow when you're growing in the Lord and begins to become more evident is temperance. What temperance means is self-control. So, for example, you get saved and maybe you had an addiction. That, again, is not overcome by your own willpower sometimes. But when you begin to grow in the Lord and you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, addictions and things that don't line up with God's Word, God begins to challenge you. Remember when I started the sermon saying, be vulnerable, open up your heart. So now we're getting down into, are you letting God's Spirit speak to you about, is this who you are? Are you letting God work on your temperance, on your self-control, on the things that don't line up with God's Word? Are you letting God dig down deep in there? And are you being vulnerable to Him this morning? Addictions, drunkenness, things like that. See, as you begin to grow in the Lord, these things, they grow dim because you become more and more like Christ. So expect these fruits to increase in your life as you continue to be good ground, receiving God's word and keeping it. What will begin to happen is people around you are going to be attracted to these fruits. These fruits. You see, when we begin to produce these fruits that we just described in our character, then people will become attracted to that. People will become like, what's that? What? There's something different about that person. And what it is that God's character is growing in you and people are starting to see God through you. You take no credit and no glory for it. We're just people with faults. But isn't it amazing that God has chosen to use people with faults so that He can show His glory through the world through us? That is an amazing, amazing thing. And so, expect these fruits to increase in your life. So when we read the parable again of these grounds, of the stony ground, of the thorny ground, And then Jesus said, but the good ground received it and with patience produced fruit. And now that you know what the fruits are, when you are praying and growing, these things, if you have a weakness in one of these areas, say you just lose control, you get angry quickly, or maybe you have a hard time caring for people, you're so busy caring for yourself. Maybe those, whatever it may be in your own life, in your own heart, maybe there's addictions. A good ground heart is not afraid to look down and deep and analyze their heart and say, Lord, I need your power of your Spirit to come into my heart and overcome. Because I want to fulfill. I want to be good fruit. So if you are hearing God's word that represents the seed in the parable of Jesus and you're keeping it and you're keeping it, you cherish it, you live by it, by the word of God, then you will naturally begin to start loving. You will have joy in the storm. You will have patience and long-suffering with people. You will have gentleness and be kind-hearted. You will have goodness and do good when possible and be trustworthy and faithful. and dependable. And you'll keep your word. And you'll be gentle in handling and caring for others. And you'll be temperance and you'll have self-control by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see what God is doing? He's molding you and shaping you to produce these fruits. Because it's the fruit that changes lives around you. Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, verse 1, using the same concept of fruit. Michelle, come to get ready to play some music. Using the same concept of fruit, he tells us, gives us another illustration in John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the vine. Jesus is talking and he's telling the disciples, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. You see, as we begin to seek more of God in our lives and set things right, and we begin to produce some fruit, some of these characteristics, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, and all these things start increasing in your life, then there are times when we're going in one direction and God needs us to start going in another direction. So he'll prune us a little bit. And if you know how to do plants or fruits, pruning is a good thing for a plant, right? They teach you to prune the tree. Because, see, Jesus is interested in maximizing our fruit. And so sometimes we feel pruned and it hurts a little bit. Like, Lord, why are you doing it that way? And he prunes us and ouch. But know this, that God is a good God. And he wants the best for you. Only the best. So yes, sometimes we need to get pruned. And things happen in our lives that shake us up. And that's okay. Have joy. All is well. And then he says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And Jesus says to his disciples, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye accept, but ye abide in me. And Jesus says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Isn't this just bring it down. I pray you opened up your heart this morning and you were vulnerable because I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to us. These fruits, if you break them all down, these fruits point to this. They point to the fact that as you grow in the Lord, you worry less about yourself and you care for others. Caring for others, love. Hope Community Church is about that. And in that love, Jesus walked with those nine fruits that we read. Jesus was walking fruit. You saw how he loved the adulterous woman and how he cared and how Zacchaeus and all the stories, the tax collector that was cheating everybody goes to his house. He cared because he was looking at the good ground heart. And God now wants to use us to be that good ground so that we can find a Zacchaeus and we can find the adulterous woman or the alcoholic or the addicted ones, and they can see hope through us. And this morning I want to ask you to stand, and by standing you're going to be just saying this. If you'll close your eyes and bow your heads right now, by standing you'll be saying this, that I'm vulnerable, Lord, and I want to receive the Spirit in my heart so I can begin to produce fruit. To produce fruit, to care, to be gentle, to be kind, long-suffering, patient, slow to anger, trusting you in all things. In the count of three, as Michelle leads us in a song, if you made yourself vulnerable today and you let the Holy Spirit come in there, all of us are lacking in these fruits. None of us are perfect. I want to challenge you to stand in the count of three. And if you just feel the Holy Spirit tugging you to come to the altar for me to pray with you about this, and I want to open that up too, but it's not required. I just believe that if you want to respond by standing, and we'll pray together, but if you want to feel led to come to the altar and just be more demonstrative about your action today, do that. It's okay. We're free in this place to worship the Lord, to receive the things that He wants us to receive. And maybe you're here and you want God to be first in your life. Well, today's the day to begin to produce this fruit, to make sure that you're saved and make sure that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if that's you this morning, you do need to walk to the front and say, Lord, I want to start this path. Make sure that you're first. Make sure that I'm producing fruit. That's you, come to the altar as well. So in the count of three, you'll stand if you're ready to let God take all of it and produce the fruit, especially those that we're weak on. Or if you want to respond to the altar, respond. So on the count of three, Michelle, lead us as we respond. One, two.